In our passage from Hebrews, St. Paul taught, faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. For good reason, on June 29th, Pope Francis issued an encyclical that had been begun by Pope Benedict. This was Lumen Fidei, the light of faith. And both Pope Benedict and Pope Francis see the importance, just as St. Paul did, of reflecting on faith. What does it mean to say, I have faith, that I believe? How would we answer that question that Jesus posed in the parable? Who is the faithful and prudent steward? And so, my brothers and sisters, we have to look at faith. In our world today, we well know we're surrounded by all kinds of technology. Science seems to govern all things. Because of that, I fear that anything of God, the supernatural, revelation, miracles, faith, church, religion, whatever it might be, seems to be discounted, even disregarded, even ridiculed, especially in the media. Keep in mind that faith and reason do not contradict. How can sources of truth contradict? They can't. Reason is, though, simply a gift of our intellect by which we can pursue truth. However, faith takes us beyond our human limits to approach the mysteries of God, to approach God Himself. It's sort of like this. We can't put God under a microscope and analyze Him, but what we see under our microscope gives evidence of the glory, power, and wisdom of God. So what then about faith? Well, faith is one of the theological or supernatural virtues, along with hope as well as charity. These virtues are infused into us at our baptism. Through these virtues, we are able to enter into a fellowship with the Holy Trinity. Aided by God's grace, we also, with these virtues, are committed to a life with God, a living God, a God who wants to share His life with us. Pope Francis taught, wonderfully interwoven, faith, hope, and charity are the driving force of the Christian life as it advances to full communion with God. Faith itself is the virtue by which we believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in what God has revealed to us as true, especially the perfect revelation given to us by our Savior Jesus Christ, true God who became true man. Moreover, Christ founded the church and empowered the church with the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom He called the Spirit of Truth, to guide us so that we can not only preserve this revelation, but understand it. Therefore, the church teaches the faith. With this in mind, then, given this faith, we accept truth. Faith, then, becomes a light for us as we journey through our path of life. We are not directionless. In a way, God has given us a map to follow, our faith. However, just like lights need to be recharged, so does our faith. We can't simply sit back and say, well, I have faith. I believe. Well, what do you believe in? That's the key. So part of the virtue of faith demands that we study. We study sacred scripture, the word of God. We study the teachings of our church, like in the catechism. We need to know our faith. We also pray, because prayer allows us to enter into that fellowship, to have a friendship with God. God isn't a being that's like removed or just a being that's cultural. Rather, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want to have a friendship with us. That friendship, that presence, the awareness only will come through prayer, including our Mass here. But this is faith. And how beautiful it is to have faith. With faith, then, we can have hope. We trust in what God has promised to us. Again, specifically, the promises that Christ gave us. Christ promised us he'd always be with us until the end of the world. He promised he'd always forgive our sins if we're truly contrite and repentant. He promised he was preparing a dwelling place for us in heaven if we keep the faith. We hold on to these promises with hope too. We rely that the Holy Spirit will help us with grace. When we face the darkest moments of our life, times of real sorrow or tragedy, the Holy Spirit will give us the light to persevere. When we feel totally weakened by the circumstances of our life, wondering, how can I go on? We trust that the Holy Spirit will give us the strength we need to continue on. Of course, no matter how dire the circumstances are, we hope beyond this life to a place of heaven. This is the great gift of hope. Faith and hope, though, are undergirded by love, charity. St. Paul wrote, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." In the end, there are three things that last: faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Technically, the virtue we speak of is charity, meaning God's love, that self-sacrificing, faithful love. The love of God has been poured out to us through the action of our Savior. Jesus also taught us, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Live on in my love. You will live in my love if you keep my commandments." This love, this charity, this virtue that has been given to us thereby purifies our own love so that you and I can truly love God above all things and love our neighbor as ourself, and especially love those who've been entrusted to our care. Put this all together. St. Paul said, "Let us put on the breastplate of faith and charity, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." With these virtues, then, we could look at our parable and say, because of these virtues, I'm called to be a faithful and prudent steward. I serve the Lord. I don't serve any other master. That's what we should all be saying because of faith, hope, and charity. All of us should be mindful that everything we have is a gift from God, to be used wisely for the glory of God, for our good, of course, for the good of those others that we know, especially those entrusted to our care. Never do we say, "It's mine," and that's it. No, we're mindful. I'm simply a steward of these possessions. Whatever God has entrusted to us, eventually we leave behind. Also, we remember always, we aren't just living for here and now. We're living for a greater kingdom. Yes, to live with our Lord now, but to see a kingdom beyond this. Anyone who thinks, "Well, I can have my kingdom now," is a fool. Because, again, we leave it all behind. And so we need to be vigilant as a good, faithful steward, mindful of faith, hope, charity. We're vigilant. The time comes, just like in the parable, when we face judgment. We have to account for our lives. Only if we've really strived to be that faithful, prudent steward will we enter into heaven. Because of this, though, because as Christians we really believe this, this is why we want to bear witness to this faith, hope, and love to the whole world. This is why we defend truths that aren't just restricted to our own faith, but truths that are reasonable. This is why we defend such truths as that each human being is made in God's image and likeness and has dignity, that life is sacred from conception all the way to natural death, that marriage is sacred between a man and a woman because there's a foundation block for society, and with that foundation block comes the family. Children have a right to be created in a normal way and to be raised with a mom and dad in a family. We have, too, an obligation to care for those who are suffering, be it those who are the poor, the aged, the elderly, the disabled, whoever it might be. We look upon them with love. But all of those principles are reasonable, and all of those principles reflect our faith, our hope, and our charity. Nevertheless, you and I have to remember, we have to make a choice. We could live without faith. Just like the parable, we could be like that unfaithful steward who thinks, well, the master is away, the mouse will play. And so, there you have it. We could live like there's no faith. And so, with that, for an example, we could stop asking the question, the moral question, ought I, and instead just ask the question, can I? And if it's can I, most likely, I'll do it, no matter what the consequences may be, no matter how it affects others. For instance, driving around, we hear commercials about these human manufacturing clinics. Have a baby and manufacture a baby and so on. Have we ever thought of the consequences of that? Yes, we can do it, but ought we? That's the moral question. Recently, a young man in California, who's now in his early 20s, who was raised by two moms, you know what I mean, was manufactured, and he decided, I'd like to know who my father is. And he's able to find out, the clinic, who his donor father was. He also found out he had 150 siblings. 150 siblings. Imagine that. Do we think? But that's a faithless society. That's a faithless mindset. I can do it. I'm going to do it. Instead of, ought I do it? We could live without hope. If we don't have faith, we aren't going to have hope. We think it is all here and now. But what happens then? When you and I do face that crisis, we face death. What happens then? How can we face that without real faith and hope? For instance, we recall the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School late last year in December. Well, the Washington Compost had a special article, and it was called Atheist Parents Discuss Death. Well, that just piqued my attention. And it said, one parent said, quote, I've explained to my children that when you die, it's over, and you live on in the memory of people you love and who love you. I can't offer them the comfort of a better place. Despite all the evils and problems in this world, this is heaven. Well, if this is heaven, I'm out of here. That's all I can say. But imagine, where's the hope? Where's the hope? Just, it's done. Where's the hope without faith? And yet people live this way? No wonder. The suicide rate among teenagers is so high. This past June, the Center for Disease Control released a study, and they found out last year's statistics that 1 in 6 high school students has seriously considered suicide, and 1 in 12 has attempted it. Why? No hope. No faith. Well, if there's no hope and no faith, where's love? Love then becomes something selfish. It's all about me. My love for myself, like a self-idolatry. You only live once, so I'm going to love me, and whatever happens, happens. They don't think of the consequences. What then happens when we have the drug abuse, the alcohol abuse, the lying, cheating, stealing, all of a sudden the unwanted pregnancy, and all these things, all acts of so-called love? Is it real love? No. Selfish love. Destructive love. And yet, we see this all the time in the media. Ask Mr. Weiner from New York, ask Alex Rodriguez. Is that love? No. But what happens in the end? Just like that parable, those who are in power will impose their will on others. Get rid of faith, get rid of hope, get rid of love, and you're going to have a totalitarian society where whoever's in power abuses everyone else. Hence, in communism, it was called the workers' paradise. Nazism, the powerful Reich, a servant of the Reich. And now what do we have? We have the welfare state, where those in power who will say, this is how you're going to live, and you'll do it our way. My brothers and sisters, you and I have to be witnesses of faith, hope, and charity. We always have been. When St. Paul wrote those letters, when we think about all the saints of our church, they've endured tough times. And in the times of St. Paul, in the first 300 years, awful Roman persecution. But the Christians were known for their faith, hope, and charity. And it's interesting. They always realized they're sort of foreigners in this world. They weren't part of the Roman Empire. They are part of God's kingdom. They were part of a visible church, a living presence of Christ. And so they had no fear of Rome. But it's interesting. The word parish comes from the Greek parokoi, which means a community of foreigners, meaning we live differently. We live with God. We aren't going to subject ourselves to a faithless, godless, hopeless, loveless society. But the key is we have to be witnesses. When the Holy Father gathered with 3.8 million young people recently in Rio de Janeiro, how wonderful it was. And why were those young people there? They're looking for faith, for hope, for love. You and I have to be the witnesses of that same faith, hope, and love in our very community. Many, especially the young, are looking for it. Let us be the witnesses and present to them the Christ who never disappoints. May God bless you.